We're exploring nursing home discharges and evictions on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The National Center on Law and Elder Rights says in its toolkit for fighting evictions that residents and their families should not panic over eviction threats, but should instead request appeals. Under federal law, it says facilities can evict residents for six reasons, but they often attempt evictions for impermissible reasons. Have you been through this ordeal with an elderly loved one forced out of their long-term care home? What can you share? 800-642-1234. Bill Leaders is editor of the Progressive magazine, who wrote about his 97-year-old mother's eviction from a care facility in New Berlin. Bill, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good to be here. Thanks for having us on for this important discussion.
Good morning. And we also have Nicole Shannon with a systemic advocacy attorney for the Michigan Elder Justice Initiative, also serving on the Michigan Attorney General's Elder Abuse Task Force. Nicole, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Nicole, let's start with you. Give us some context on evictions, because it's difficult to find any data here. How common is it for people to be forced out of their long-term care home or their senior living facility?
Well, you're exactly right that it is hard to tell because there isn't a lot of data. And sometimes these happen without nursing homes supplying the correct documentation to their states. But a recent New York Times article indicates that it's in the thousands nationally every year. And that lines up with what I'm seeing on the ground in Michigan, where I practice, and also in conversation with colleagues across the country.
And those complaints then would give a better sense as to what is actually happening with evictions, because someone would file a complaint if they see an injustice happening.
Yes, that, but also if a nursing home is going to try to do this properly, they do need to supply their state and also their local and also the state's long-term care ombudsman with some documentation and a formal notice. But sometimes that formal notice doesn't happen. Sometimes it's really more of a conversation and saying, you know what, it's time to go. In other situations, it can be a nursing home sending someone out to a hospital, maybe on a flimsy pretext, and then saying, you know what, you just can't come back. And that's not allowed under federal law, but unfortunately it does happen.
Because when a resident is hospitalized, I think it's state law generally requires the nursing home to hold the bed for a week or two if the resident wants to return to the home. But there, that also, it has a gray area.
That's right. You know, every state's timeline is a little bit different, but you haven't been evicted. So you get to go back home unless your nursing home actually goes through that proper process to try to evict you. And like you said, there is a bed hold policy, which basically says if you have to leave your nursing home for a while, typically because perhaps you need hospitalization or other treatment that can't be provided in that nursing home, you get to come back home. And I keep on saying home here because I think so often we don't think about nursing homes as somebody's home. We might think of it as maybe a transient place that somebody has to go while they're receiving short-term rehabilitation, or maybe a place that older relative is living while they still might have, you know, their house in the community. But this is home with everything that means. And you don't just get to kick somebody out of their home without going through the correct process.
We're talking about the issue of elderly people being evicted from care facilities with Nicole Shannon, an attorney with the Michigan Elder Justice Initiative. Bill Leaders is here, editor of the Progressive magazine. You can share your experiences, 800-642-1234. Bill, your mother, Elaine Benz, was evicted from a facility in New Berlin late last year. Can you give us an overview of what happened?
Sure. My mom has lived at the Regency of New Berlin, which is a retirement community, for 10 years. She moved there with her second husband, now late husband, in 2011. In late October, we learned that she was at a rehabilitation facility to build up her leg strength after a fall. She had been there for around 2 weeks. She was supposed to return home to her to the Regency of New Berlin on the morning of Friday, October 29th, on the afternoon of Thursday, October 28th, the afternoon before, the Regency informed us for the first time that our mother would not be allowed to return to her home. They said that her needs had gotten too great. We pushed back on that. The facility argued that her level of care exceeded the 28 hours per week that it was licensed to provide. In fact, it argued that she needed around-the-clock care, that she needed someone with her 24/7. Even while she slept, we'd have to hire someone to be with her. That was what they came up with. Well, we filed a grievance with the state with regarding this eviction. In the meantime, we scrambled to find new arrangements for my mother. She ended up staying at this rehabilitation facility, which is not a home, it's just a rehabilitation place, for 19 additional days at a cost of more than $7,000 to our family before we found another care facility that my mother could come in. The state did an investigation of this matter in early November, sent an inspector there. I just learned last Thursday that the state did indeed find that the Regency of New Berlin, which is owned by Pro Healthcare Incorporated, a Waukesha-based not-for-profit operation, that it had indeed violated the state's rules. It had broken the law in the eviction of my mother, and that it will have to come up with a plan to comply with requirements. I don't know all the details yet of what will happen. That information has not been fully released to me, but there may be a fine involved. Based on what I've seen in other cases like this, it's probably going to be a very nominal fine. It's probably going to be a lot less than what the actual financial cost was for my mother and our family. The fine that the facility will have to pay for being found to be in violation of the law.
I'm wondering, Nicole Shannon, when you hear this story, this scenario, and the family had one day to figure out what to do next. Do you hear these types of stories elsewhere?
We do. And, you know, these timelines are frustrating because they're completely artificial on the part of the nursing home. Federal law gives folks, if they're being discharged from a licensed skilled nursing setting, and I want to be clear on that because there are different rules for different types of settings, and the federal laws and regulations apply to folks who are in skilled licensed nursing homes. Although every state might have additional protections beyond that for different settings. You can't be pushed out with less than 30 days notice. And even then there's an appeal time period. There are a lot of rights that folks don't necessarily take advantage of because this is an understandably stressful situation where folks are panicking and trying to, you know, make provisions where somebody's gonna go next. They might not be sitting down with their federal code or federal register to try to take a look at the Federal Nursing Home Reform Act. And that's why it's so important for folks to get assistance from professionals like their state long-term care ombudsman program or from attorneys.
I wonder, Bill, what effect did that have on your mom's mental state and just the knowing that she couldn't go back to her home?
Oh, she was devastated. First of all, she was trapped in this rehabilitation center for 19 days until we could find other places. Just shortly before that began, the facility went into full COVID lockdown because of an infection that had been there. So my sister was unable to visit. My sister visits my mom every day. She was unable to see her. My mom was isolated. We couldn't talk to her by phone. It was just this horrible time. And when we finally got her into a new place, she was completely disoriented, and she told me, she looked me in the eye and she said, "I want to go home. Oh. I want to go home." She couldn't go home. Her home was denied her. She was evicted from her own apartment. She was evicted illegally. And there's a distinction I do want to make following up on something that Nicole says, is that there are nursing homes which are governed under federal law. The 1987 Nursing Home Reform Act prescribes conditions under which an eviction can occur and says that you need to give at least 30 days advance written notice and notify the resident of their right to appeal. What my mom was in was not a nursing home. It's what's called a residential care apartment complex. This is a category, a state licensing category that includes basically any place that's where the living arrangement is set up as a bunch of apartments. There are 355 of these residential care apartment complexes in the state of Wisconsin. I have obtained records that show in the last 3 years, there have been just two, now three, enforcement actions that have been brought against the operators of these facilities related to improper discharge. So it's only happened three times. I like to talk to, at some point, about the other two times that I'm aware of, but this, my mom's case, will be the third time in which an enforcement action has been brought against a provider in this licensing category, which includes thousands of people who are living in these more than 350 facilities.
Let's take a moment here. Editor of the Progressive magazine, Bill Leaders, with us, wrote a piece calling to put an end to wrongful elder evictions in the wake of his own mother's ordeal. Nicole Shannon is an attorney with the Michigan Elder Justice Initiative. Has your parent or grandparent been evicted from a senior living facility? What happened? How did you handle it? How should our society support its aging population? 800-642-1234. Back for more conversation in a moment on the Ideas Network. We're talking about elder care residents who are especially vulnerable to being evicted from nursing homes and voluntarily transferred elsewhere. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. At the end of 2017, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid issued a memo to long-term care facilities. The government would investigate facility-initiated discharges that violate federal regulations, route cases through state long-term care ombudsman programs. The memo said facility-initiated discharges continue to be one of the most frequent complaints made to ombudsmen. Have you had to scramble to find another place for an elderly relative? What regulations or safeguards would help to protect residents of senior facilities? 800-642-1234. We have advocacy attorney Nicole Shannon with the Michigan Attorney General's Elder Abuse Task Force. Bill Leaders is here, editor of the Progressive magazine, with us for the hour. Let's bring on Jennifer now in Madison. Hi, Jennifer. What's your perspective?
So I just wanted to, I work with individuals on long-term care from 18 to 59, but people who find themselves with an elderly loved one in this situation can call the Ombudsman Program at the Board on Aging and Long-Term Care. It's a statewide program. There's an 800 number, and you can call to consult, find out what your loved one's rights are, and those ombudsmen can really sort of orient you to what you can do in the situation. And they also can potentially provide assistance if you have to appeal. And there's also, I wanted to point out that the Division of Quality Assurance is another department at the state where you can make a complaint or they can do an investigation. And there's a lot of information on the Department of Health Services website in terms of providers for elderly care and your rights. So I just wanted to let people know that there are resources out there if they find themselves in this situation.
Jennifer, thank you so much for those resources. And we have a link at WPR.org/mornings to the Board on Aging and Long-Term Care. Jennifer, while you're on the line, can you give us a sense on the kind of cases that you hear and what type of things that you work through to find, to find an outcome that is desirable by all parties?
So that's a great question. And when we work with individuals, and again, I want to be clear, I don't typically work with individuals 60 or over, but the goal here is to find out a solution that works for everyone, whether it's that the individual stays at the residence and, you know, there's been some type of greater understanding of what their needs are, or to allow enough time to have a mindful and appropriate relocation. And so just to let people know that you can't just be sort of terminated, that there are timelines that they have to follow and that you do have rights. And so ideally, when, you know, if you have something like this happen, the goal is that the person either gets to stay with the proper support or they get relocated in a way that allows their family to, you know, make sure that they're still in the same, you know, close to family and friends, or, mm-hmm. you know, have resources and things they're familiar with. So the goal is to really slow things down rather than having, you know, people scramble to find a facility instead of a good fit.
Jennifer, thank you so much. Nicole Shannon, what do you hear out of an ombudsman here, you know, working with the 18 to 59-year-olds?
You know, I was just nodding along with everything that Jennifer was saying. We're fortunate enough in my program to house the Michigan Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. So I see up close every day the tremendous work that ombudsmen do working with residents to ensure that their rights are protected. And even though I work for the Michigan Elder Justice Initiative, I'm so glad that Jennifer talked about the younger population, because it's not just older adults who are living in nursing homes. And I think that with younger folks, sometimes it leads to different situations that might be leading to, you know, involuntary transfer or discharge. Sometimes it is like with Mr. Luter's mother, you know, you've got somebody who's getting older and maybe their needs are increasing. And so a nursing home is looking for an excuse to maybe not have to, you know, provide somebody everything that they need. But sometimes you've got folks who are younger, maybe in their 50s or 60s. They don't want to be in a nursing home. They don't have peers, but they're, you know, they're in a nursing home because of the limited resources to receive care in their homes and communities. Hmm. It's a frustrating experience for them. That frustration becomes apparent with the staff at the nursing home. It's oil and water. The nursing home doesn't want to deal with them anymore. And so sometimes they'll cook up a ruse, which could mean sending that person to the hospital on a flimsy pretext, like asking for a psych evaluation. And then when the hospital determines in short order that this isn't somebody who needs psychiatric treatment, the hospital says no. You know, I really do encourage folks to contact their ombudsman program if they find themselves in this situation, because it can be so important to have somebody who knows the system, who can advise you on your rights and kind of be that calm third party who's on your side to help you with the process.
Nicole Shannon, attorney with the Michigan Elder Justice Initiative. Bill Leaders is here, editor of the Progressive magazine, sharing his own mother's story. Bill, what did you see out of ombudsmen, or did you reach out in your situation?
Oh, absolutely. I dealt with both of those agencies that were mentioned. The ombudsman program through the Wisconsin Board on Aging, they made an inquiry on my behalf. The thing with the ombudsman program is they can intervene to try to work out a solution, but they have no enforcement power. They have no ability to force an institution to do anything. And the State Division of Quality Insurance, which is also part of the Department of Health Services in the state of Wisconsin, you know, did do an investigation. They do have enforcement capability, but it took them 3 months to get to the complaint, to the decision that the facility broke the law. And in the meantime, my mother was out. She had to find a new place to live. There was nothing that anybody was able to do or that did do for her in her time of need. That's one of the things that I think is really a glaring problem here. They investigated this matter in early November. Shortly after we learned that they were evicting her, and they gave these bogus reasons for why they were doing so, the determination was made in early November that this was improper, but it took 3 months for the state to get around to notifying me officially of that result. And I still don't even have all of the records that show what their investigation entailed. I'm still waiting on that. I'll probably get that sometime this week, but it did not lead to a reversal of any legal eviction. It did not prevent any legal eviction, and the state should have a mechanism and the process in place where it can stop facilities from breaking the law.
Let's go to Diana in Middleton. Hi, Diana, go ahead. Hi, Diana, are you there?
Hi. So this is Jennifer calling back. I just wanted to let you know the information for the 18 to 59 age ombudsman program. I wasn't expecting, I not necessarily don't need to go on the air, but if they do want to have that information too, it would be at Disability Rights Wisconsin has the 18 to 59 ombudsman program.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for those resources. I was reaching out here to Diana in Middleton. Diana, are you there?
Yes, I recently explored volunteering with the Wisconsin Ombudsman Program, and Bill sounds like, you know, when he's saying 3 months, that that's a long time. That's really fast considering how under-resourced that program is, and they're heavily reliant on volunteers. I made a complaint in Arizona about my mother's husband's treatment. That was in March of 2021. There has been zero investigation or action taken to date. Wow. So in Wisconsin, we're under-resourced, but it's actually better than in some other states. And I just think that's horrible that mediocre is good in this country in the way we look at our vulnerable population.
Diana, were you able to volunteer?
I ended up having a conflict. So Bill referenced that there's no enforcement activity. There's also the ombudsman program works on behalf of the individual. So if the people in that program become aware of abuse happening, they cannot report it unless the individual agrees to that. So they may be aware of harm or potential for harm, but not be able to make a complaint unless the victim or alleged victim is agreeable to that. And these people are vulnerable. They don't want to complain against the people who are caring for them.
Well, let's pause there. Diana, thank you. We'll pick this up after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're talking about elderly people being evicted from their care facilities on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Journal of the American Bar Association's Commission on Law and Aging called elder evictions a, quote, disturbing trend becoming increasingly evident across the country. That was back in 2020. So we want to know, what has changed? Have you had to scramble to find another place for an elder to live when their facility demanded they move? Share your story, your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Nicole Shannon is an attorney with the Michigan Elder Justice Initiative, where she advocates for seniors and individuals with disabilities. Bill Leaders is editor of the Progressive magazine based in Madison. They're with us for the hour. Bill, I want to look more closely here. Your mother was in an attendant care apartment. Attendant care usually is care given by an attendant who does personal tasks, which a person cannot do for themselves. Can you explain the level of care that your mother had?
Sure. Well, my mom was in an assisted living, essentially, is what it was. She originally was in independent living, but in 2020, just before COVID struck, we moved her into an assisted living facility, which meant she got a little bit more attention. The rent was obviously a little bit more, a lot more, actually. You know, she needs help getting dressed, getting in her wheelchair. We were told that she was getting kicked out because she needs around the clock care. That is simply untrue. She has never received anything near that level of care, or even the 28 hours a week of direct care that the facility was licensed to provide. That's just the excuse they came up with, because she was a little more work than other residents and they didn't want to have to deal with it. After taking more than $300,000 of from my mother and her late husband over the 10-year period that they lived there, they wanted her gone, and so they kicked her out.
Is it possible, though, that your mother needed more care than the Regency could provide?
No, I think that the state investigated that claim and found that it was untrue. That's why it decided that the facility, the Regency, and Pro Health Care Incorporated were in violation of the law. You can read about the in depth what we were told and how this worked and what the representatives of the Regency explained to us and what they put in their discharge letter and how I replied. It's all in my article in the Progressive. You can get a PDF version of that. It's on our website, obviously, but there's a PDF version at progressive.org/evicting. And you can see the whole story there. But no, my mother did not need around-the-clock care. They came up with this as a ruse in order to justify their wanting her gone. Coincidentally or not, she's nearing the end of where her life savings will be depleted. That means she will not, the facility in the future would not have been making as much money off of her as it had in the past. Was that a motivating factor? I don't know. But that study that you cited from 2017 from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid did find that financial reasons often underlined the eviction of residents.
Let's bring on Eric now in Green Bay, from a manager of a care organization. Is that right, Eric?
Managed care organization.
Managed care. Yes. Go ahead.
Yep. So we are kind of the arbiters of the tax money from Medicaid services. I work specifically in the long-term care part of it, people over 60 in these facilities. And I just wanted to provide a little additional context in terms of what the definitions of some of these facilities are. Your guest referenced his mother needing more than 28 hours per week of care as the reason for the discharge. So that would indicate that it would be a residential community apartment complex. Does that sound right? An RCAC?
Bill, does that sound? Yes.
24-hour around the care would be referencing the next level of care in a facility, which is would be a CBRF or a community-based residential facility, which is still less restrictive than and a nursing home, which a lot of people refer to everything as a nursing home, but a nursing home, skilled nursing facility would be a next level up as well.
And Eric, thank you so much for those definitions. What perspective do you have on these discharges or these evictions?
So from the perspective of a Medicaid, someone on a Medicaid program, it is much less difficult for facilities to issue, they're called 30-day notices.
Mm-hmm.
And then it falls on the MCO to find another placement for this individual. But oftentimes that takes far longer than 30 days.
Mm.
And in that time, the individual cannot be discharged. Now with private pay, like your guest's mother, the rules are a little different. I can't really speak to them.
Nicole, what do you see here as you look at these different, you know, as Eric makes clear that there are different rules for different types of care, different levels of care?
It's true. I can tell you that in Michigan, really, we only have licensed skilled nursing homes, licensed adult foster homes, licensed homes for the aged. But terms like assisted living or independent living in Michigan, where I practice, those are really just marketing terms without any type of, you know, oversight or licensing. So I think that is important to know is what is your situation. And that will tell you what your rights are. And I know that he also mentioned, you know, the challenges in trying to find, you know, alternate settings if, you know, eventually you do need to leave. And this is something that predated the pandemic. The staffing challenges in long-term care are real. They are real in skilled nursing facilities. They are real for home community-based services. But the pandemic has certainly exacerbated that. And so it can be particularly challenging right now if you do want to leave, you know, and a lot of folks, once they get that notice, they feel concerned about retaliation and they want to start looking for alternate placements. It can be really challenging because a lot of places are putting holds on admissions right now. And so that's why folks really need to understand what their rights are if they want to stay, you know, put at home so that they're not out there searching for, like somebody said, you know, a fit as opposed to the best fit.
It's really interesting that you bring that up because, you know, Wisconsin does have a law for nursing homes that includes requirements for resident admissions and discharges, but this law includes a medical emergency condition that may enable a facility to discharge without a patient's permission due to the pandemic. How might the COVID pandemic affect patients' rights?
So, you know, the federal laws are always going to be kind of that backbone that are there. But I think it kind of merges into this Wisconsin law that you mentioned. And while not being, you know, completely familiar with it, there is under federal law a provision that prevents kind of an emergency eviction for health and safety. Although folks still do have that same right to challenge that eviction and to go through the process, but they may be fighting to get back in as opposed to fighting to remain where they are. And so I think the pandemic has increased, you know, the strain on everybody in long-term care. And so I think that has led to, at least anecdotally, what I've seen, maybe more folks you know, in Bill's mom's situation where they're going, you know what, it's just a little bit more work and a little bit is too much right now, which is, you know, it's not permissible. And I'll note too that federal law does require that nursing homes have to, you know, do an assessment on admission. It should never be a big shock when somebody needs the care that they need, because it's supposed to be something that is, you know, continuously evaluated.
We're talking with Nicole Shannon, an attorney with the Michigan Elder Justice Initiative. Bill Leaders is here, editor of the Progressive magazine, sharing his 97-year-old mother's story. You can join in with your perspective from what you have seen. 800-642-1234. So, Bill, as you filed a complaint against the Regency with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services over what happened to your mother, can you explain a little bit as to what that response was like and whether you were surprised?
No, I expected that they would find that a violation occurred. It seemed pretty plain on the face of it. Based on the other cases I've seen in which violations were affirmed, I think what's likely going to happen here is they're going to be fined a minuscule amount. That's what the state has tended to do. There's a case I looked at in which a illegal eviction occurred of a resident in a community center in Onalaska, in which the facility was determined to be in violation of the law. They didn't provide proper notice to the individual. They claimed that the individual had been hospitalized 3 times in a month for gastrointestinal issues when the inspector found that it had only happened once. They said that the facility was wrong to evict the tenant, was wrong even to issue a 30-day notice of eviction, and the fine for this violation was $300. And the provider was given the option of getting a 35% discount to $195 if paid within 10 days. The other situation I found out about was a couple. They lived together. They shared an apartment in the facility in Beaver Dam. And one of them went to the hospital and the facility wouldn't let the person come back. And the spouse said, well, listen, I'm here all the time, except when I work, I'll hire someone to watch my wife for the time that I'm not here. In fact, the spouse had a video set up so that when he was at work, he could check in on an hourly basis with a video and audio connection to his apartment, to the spouse. And the facility said no. The couple was separated from each other. The state investigated, found several violations, issued a fine of $700. This happened last year. $700 with a 35% discount offered, which would have brought it down to $495. This is the type of penalty it's going. The facility that evicted my mother is owned by Pro Healthcare Incorporated, which for the fiscal year that ended in September of 2020 had more than $100 million of revenue after expenses, what most people would call profit. They call themselves a not-for-profit, but they pay their CEO during a six-year period $19 million. They own several hospitals. They own several retirement centers. They own a hospice. They employ 5,000 people. And as I said, for this period of time, this fiscal year, the last on record, they made more than $100 million of revenue in excess for profit. So if they have staffing shortages that they need to deal with, they've got the financial sources to address them.
Let's pause there with the Progressive magazine editor, Bill Leaders, there, investigated elder evictions in Wisconsin, spurred by his mother's personal ordeal. Attorney Nicole Shannon is with us with the Michigan Elder Justice Initiative. Are you worried about getting the care and assistance you might need one day? Do you have a plan for your senior years? How should our country support its aging population? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're looking into the eviction of vulnerable senior living residents from their facilities. The National Long-Term Care Ombudsman Resource Center works to help people who live in long-term care facilities resolve disputes and improve care. They recently reported numbers for 2020, providing over 4,000 complaint resolutions and advocacy services to help people transition to a setting of their choice. Have you gotten help through an ombudsman program? How did your elder eviction case turn out? Was it resolved? Still time, 800-642-1234. We have Bill Leaders, editor of the Progressive magazine, reporting on elder evictions. And advocacy attorney Nicole Shannon is here with the Michigan Elder Justice Initiative. Nicole, if a family is told that a resident must move out now of their home, of their care facility, what should they do?
I think the first step should be contacting the state long-term care ombudsman program. It's going to be important to have that third-party advocate in your corner that's familiar with the process, and to handle some of the logistics while you're there for your loved one. I would also say don't panic. Don't immediately start making plans to move your loved one out, because, you know, I've fought a lot of these cases and I've won a lot of these cases where the residents are able to continue living where they want to live. So just because you get that 30-day notice, that is not the end of the line. You can challenge these in administrative hearings. And work with that ombudsman to see if you need some legal assistance for representation at a hearing. It's also, you know, it might make sense to have a conversation with that administrator to see what's going on here and why is this 30-day notice happening? Is there something that we can address? Because, you know, sometimes having that conversation can be enough to resolve whatever the issue is, and you can get that nursing home or other facility to retract the notice. But I would say get help, don't panic, and don't move out just because they tell you that they'd like you to. You know, they have to go through a process and you're entitled to keep your loved one there, because moving can be extremely traumatic for folks. And so ensuring that folks can stay where they want to be, you know, is just so important.
The inclination to even just Google for what is the next step? What should I do if this came out of the blue? And it seems like there are a bunch of law firms out there that are writing about transfers and discharges from a nursing home, and to know your rights. What should you take into consideration if you do go the legal route?
So you're going to want to know, what does the process look like? It's not going to be a court hearing in your local, you know, in your local courthouse. This is going to be an administrative hearing through your state agency, your state Medicaid agency. But a lot of it is going to look a lot like a court case. And so I think kind of familiarizing yourself with the process and what it's going to look like, working with somebody to put together your evidence. And so often, you know, the nursing homes, at least in my experience, just get it wrong in terms of when they're issuing these notices. And so often, you know, you've kind of won before you even get into the reasons for discharging, because, for example, they didn't provide the right kind of notice. They didn't go through the correct process. They haven't told the state of Michigan. They haven't told the ombudsman program. You know, there are a lot of things that kind of get skipped. And while these might seem like, you know, lawyery technicalities, a lot of them are really important, including ensuring that this discharge plan is going to be safe and appropriate. And so, again, anecdotally, I've won cases where, you know, you can't just discharge somebody to say, you know, an apartment that the person doesn't rent anymore, or a home that's burned down, or the home of an unwilling relative, or to the hospital, which is, of course, not a, you know, permanent situation. These are all real life examples, by the way. And so ensuring that, you know, the process and procedure is followed correctly before you even get into the, you know, the merits of the case can be so appropriate. And so I just encourage folks, don't go it alone. It's too important. And to move, you know, and this is something where you, you know, don't panic, but do move quickly to get some assistance. You know, start with the ombudsman program and then go from there to see if you might need a lawyer to represent you through an administrative hearing.
Bill, your mother will turn 98 soon. How is she doing now?
Well, she's adjusted to her new environment. It was a traumatic adjustment, as we had feared it would be. You know, she's hanging in there. She's a dear woman. She didn't deserve for this to happen. No one from the Regency or from Pro Healthcare has apologized to us or offered any sort of contrition in response to having broken the law in this situation. I want to go to the issue that you were talking with Nicole about what people can do. I have a list of suggestions that I included with my article. Again, it's available on our website or at progressive.org.
And we have a link as well. What are some of the things that you would suggest?
Well, Nicole touched on a few of them, but I would say you need to ask questions, whether you're moving into one of these facilities or already there. You should ask the administrators, when do they evict people? Do they ever evict people? What do they evict people for? Dementia, incontinence, is that a reason for eviction? If they have a fall, find that out ahead of time. Be prepared to fight an eviction beforehand. Maybe line up an attorney or at least familiarize yourself with the law. Look at the toolkit that's provided by the advocacy group, Justice and Aging, which you mentioned earlier, and be prepared for an eviction. Document everything. Keep a list of every contact you have, every attempt to reach out to get information, everything that anybody tells you. Put a log. For my mother's case, we created a chronology as this played out. It's well more than 30 pages long of just the interactions that we had with various officials. And finally, I would say, don't rely on the government to help you. Is a good idea to turn to the ombudsman. Mm-hmm. It's a good idea to complain to state officials, but don't expect that they're going to stop this from happening.
You're
probably
proactive.
Better off with a private attorney. And yes, if you are in the facility and they tell you to go, don't go. If you're outside of the facility, there's a way you can sneak the person back in, do that. They do not have the authority to kick you out.
Bill, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Nicole Shannon, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Nicole Shannon is systemic advocacy attorney with the Michigan Elder Justice Initiative, serves on the Michigan Attorney General's Elder Abuse Task Force. Bill Leaders, there, editor of The Progressive. We have a link to his article titled, I Want to Go Home. It's at WPR.org/mornings. And we reached out to Pro Healthcare Inc., which owns the Regency New Berlin, and they provided the following statement. Regency Senior Communities offers independent living, assisted living, and memory care, but it is not licensed as a nursing home and is not able to provide higher levels of care. As they age and their needs change, Regency residents sometimes reach a point where they require care beyond what Regency can offer. This can be a difficult time for the resident and the family, and we support them however we can. At all times, families are treated with the dignity and respect they deserve. End of statement. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show, and this is the Ideas Network.